Anybody fighting a bit of just a bit of tiredness from the intense football games? Yeah. Ready to plow through an hour or so yet?
Yeah, come on.
By the grace of the Lord, come on. Yeah, honestly, I really feel, guys, tonight that there's still something the Lord really wants to. Even as I was preparing this week, I was like sitting there just to get overthink some things and trying to write down notes, and finally I just like put it aside and I was like, Lord, what do you want to like, what do you want to say tonight, what do you want to do? And even that time, Lord was just like, I didn't even know Steve was, I knew some of what Steve was going to be sharing, but not the full extent. And honestly, just echoing what Steve was saying, just reminding us again of the worth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really believe tonight, guys, that he wants to give us he wants to give us a vision that we would set our hearts and we would set our eyes on him. Favor or hardship or offense, he wants to release just a power tonight over our hearts. And would give us a courage and a boldness to just set our eyes on him, that no matter what happens, that our hearts remain steadfast. He even asked me to share on adoring love for Jesus. And so I'm going to touch a bit on that. But really, I just really believe the Holy Spirit, like I said, even more than words that I can say, I'm just believing the Holy Spirit will strengthen our resolve tonight. Will strengthen our commitment to the man upon the throne. Whether you continue to walk with Branch Community or not, whether you're here for another year, whether you're here for another 10 years, it's not about that. But even as you go from here, tonight there would be a courage and a boldness released by the power of the Holy Spirit over our hearts to set our eyes, to set our gaze on him. Because he's seated on the throne and he's the worthy one. Right? He's the worthy one. And even in saying that, like, we just know, like, and quite honestly myself, like, in the midst of saying that, we know there's just, like, man, there's tensions in life, right? There's opportunities for offense. And there's just, how many of us have, like, just feel the tension of, man, there's so many things pulling for my attention, pulling for my time, pulling for my attention, my gaze, right? And sometimes it can be good things. I know for myself, it's like, right now, it's just like, it's very, very real for me. I mean, I'm doing, like, we're super busy at work, I'm the manager where I work, and things are just escalating with the upper room. I'm just like, God, like, just running to the secret place. You know, I'm just like, I get back from work or whatever, I'm just like, Lord, like, you are the source of my life. But there's so many things, even if there's not just good things, but even just whatever it is, the things of the world that want to just dial down or just numb the fire and the passion in us, right? It's real. Anyone else experience that? It's just me. I mean, you got social media and all, you guys know the drill. Right? There's just so many things, like, pulling for our attention, pulling for our gaze, and pulling for, our time. And so it's very real, and but in the midst of that, there's, and we're not the first ones to experience that. We're by far not the first ones to experience that. You know, you look at examples in the Bible. Even I look at the story of the life of David. The guy gets anointed king, and you would think, okay, he's anointed, you know, peaches and cream from here on out. Well, it is anything but peaches and cream.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? And I just want to encourage us tonight too, even as we think about, you know, looking into the future, like, are we okay if the process looks different than we thought it's going to look like?
Wow. Yeah.
Are you going to be okay if the Lord leads you in different ways than what, or even just, you have these promises, but what if the fulfillment looks different than what you thought it was going to look like? Like, am I okay with that? Are you okay with that? Or are we going to be like, man, this is not what I look like, this is not what I signed up for, and so I'm going to get offended. And I'm just telling you guys, there's going to be so many, you guys already know this, so many opportunities for that to happen. So many opportunities for offense, whether it's something that someone said to you or didn't say to you, whether it's something someone did to you or didn't do to you. There's just going to be so many opportunities for that. And the question is not if it is, but the question is like, what are we going to do in the midst of that? And even looking like David, like he has this incredible problem. He gets anointed king, right? But his life after that is just like crazy. I mean, he ends up running. I mean, here he's serving Saul, right? And like the very guy that should be like mentoring him and like blessing him and speaking life and preparing him for like to be king and like sowing into his life, that very person is like after him, hunting down his life. And you talk about the process looking different than what you thought it was going to look like. And he ends up with his crew that is like, talk about authentic community and the negative. Honestly, they're like, I gotta check this out, see if I can find it real quick. It's I don't think it says 2 Samuel 11. I mean, the description is just like, maybe it's 2 Kings 11. I don't know if I should save this. Hashtag what to do when you're sharing. Write your stuff down. 2 Kings, 2 Kings 11? No, it's not.
That's true.
Anyway, he basically, these guys are like, they're bitter of spirit. Basically, they're just a depressed crew of guys. And like, this is not the crew you expect to run with if you're anointed for king, right? Like, this is not what you signed up for. And he's like running from Saul. And even has like, you guys know the story, but like even has like, what is it, two opportunities where he can literally take any guy's life. But like, he has this understanding of honor, and he's like, no, I cannot kill him. He's anointed. But just so many opportunities for him where he could have just been like, you know what? This is not what I signed up for. This looks different than what I thought it's going to look like. But in the midst of that, he just keeps going. He just keeps going. His heart is like steadfast on the Lord. He makes mistakes, sure. We know like, I mean, his life story is crazy, right? But his process leading up to becoming king is just, it's wild. There's another sobering, actually really sobering for me, is the story of John the Baptist. How, he's the one that prepared the way for the Lord, right? He's like, he's out there preaching like, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you read like Matthew, it's like all of Jerusalem and all of Judea and the surrounding areas, they're coming out to see this like weird guy who dresses weird, he eats weird stuff, but his message is anointed, right? But think about it, the whole region is coming out. It's full-blown revival, guys. It's honestly full-blown revival. And in my mind, like, this is the last person that would potentially get offended or potentially be like, you know what, this is too much, I'm going to sign off. He doesn't actually do that. But he gets very close. Like this guy, he's really like, he made the way. And he's the one that said, like, you know what, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie the sandals of Jesus' feet. Mm-hmm. Like, he told his people, I will baptize you in water. The man that's coming, Jesus Christ, he's going to baptize you in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And this person, this Jesus Christ, I'm not even worthy to bow down and literally take off the sandals or carry the sandals. Right? This same person, he's living in full-blown revival. But you see, like a couple chapters later in Matthew, the same guy, this is what's so sobering for me. He asks a question, he is like, he basically asks, he gets locked in prison. And he's like, Jesus, are you the one? Or should you look for someone else? And I was like, what? Like, how can this guy was so, I mean, like I said, he experienced revival. He was the one that, like, seen so many people come to the Lord. and like recognize, or it looked like he recognized me well, he did. But like there was this moment of doubt, a moment where it was like, man, is this the one or not? And I love Jesus' response. I mean, like the way Jesus often answered the question with a question, right? He doesn't actually directly answer his question. He's like basically, the blind see, the lame walk. And just tell John that, right? And it's sobering. Because even if a powerful man, like John the Baptist, like has this moment of like, wait a minute. Like, are you it? Like, are you the one that we're looking for, or are you not the one we're looking for? And so, but even as we think about, just enduring love for Jesus, and then we think about just perseverance. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation 2, if you guys have your Bibles with you, or your phone will work as well. Revelation chapter 2. Basically, most of us know the context here. John is in the middle of having this vision, and the Lord is speaking to him about different churches. And remember, this is not unbelievers he's talking to. This is the body of Christ he's talking to. Revelation chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. Says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Now, I suppose we can stop there. Like, I don't know about you, but like, I would sign up for a community like that. Like, I would sign up for like, hey, that sounds amazing. Like, you have patient endurance. You cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who are false apostles. You're enduring patiently. You're bearing for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. And I'm like, sounds great. What else can you ask for? Right? What does the next phrase say? And this is so sober for me. It's like, you can have all this, and yet Jesus says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. I don't know about you guys, that hits me pretty hard. That's like, you can do all these things, and you have this, like, just steadfast, you know, patient, all these things, like staying away from false apostles, false teaching. And it sounds like bearing persecution for his name's sake. But man, if we're like in that process and we're dead on the inside, like the Lord is saying, like, look, like you repent because you're doing all these things, but your heart is not, there's no love in the midst of doing all these things. You've abandoned the love that you had at first. I just want to say, like, the way that we choose to love Jesus, even tonight, I just believe the Lord wants to give us a vision, even beyond our own lives, guys. Even beyond our short time on earth. Because even just looking at the Bible, like, the way that we choose to love with all our hearts, to keep that fire burning on the inside. I want us to catch a vision that this is even like beyond our lifetime. Right? This is not just about us, but about your children and your children's children. But the way that you choose to love Jesus, the way you choose to follow Jesus, is not just about your life, but it's actually going to impact your children and your children's children. I mean, how do you know the way that Steve and Crystal choose to follow? follow Jesus and love Jesus with all our hearts is having a profound impact on Jeannie.
Yeah.
Come on. It's real, guys.
Yeah.
And even in the Bible, there's a story of Solomon. He basically falls away from the Lord, and the Lord says, I'm going to tear the kingdom from you because you've fallen, basically, wives and his wealth and all these things. Took his heart away from the Lord. And the Lord comes to him and says, I'm going to tear the kingdom from you. But I'm not going to do it in your day. I'm going to do it in your son's generation because, why? Because of your father David.
Yeah.
Basically, because of the covenant, because of the way that David loved the Lord, his son actually, profound impact on his son's life. And so even as we think about just enduring love for Jesus, I just want us to think about, even just to capture a vision of beyond our lifetime lives. And it's not just about this short time. And man, we just like, I just want to encourage us, dude, like this is training ground, right? This 70 years, 70, 80 years, like it's only training ground, right? And this is only like, it's only in this side of eternity that in the midst of like the pressures of life, the tensions of life, when offense wants to like come in and just overwhelm you, like it's only in this life, guys, that we get to say, man, I choose to worship Jesus in the midst of that. I choose to love Jesus in the midst of whatever's happening.
Come on, so
when offense just wants to like tear you apart, or bitterness, or all these things where just come in and just steal that fire, or just dampen the fire. Man, guys, it's only like in this lifetime that we actually get to choose. Because I'm telling you right now, the angels in heaven, the 24 elders, they are not looking at Jesus and like think we should worship or think we should, you know, bow down. Guys, there's zero hesitation. It's the absolute natural response. Even like Steve shared last night, right? When you have true revelation of who Jesus is, your response is yes! Right?
Yeah.
Now we really get this short lifetime, guys. Corinthians says we see in part, right? We see in part now. But like when we see him face to face, there's not going to be doubt of whether it was worth it or whether we should worship him. But I mean, we know this, right? The 24 elders, they bow down, they cast their crowns before the Lamb. Because there's zero doubt, guys. There's zero doubt that he is worthy. And even just tonight, even more than the words I can say, I'm just believing for the Holy Spirit to capture our hearts again and to just release that over our hearts. That he is the worthy one. And that revelation and that even just, that revelation, that vision, that confidence and assurance, guys, would just propel us through this life. That no matter what, I don't care if offense wants to come in, bitterness, whatever it is, just the stress and tension of life, like no matter what, I am setting my gaze. I'm fixing my eyes on him. Because there's this deep conviction placed by the Holy Spirit that he's worthy. Right? I'm just believing that he wants to do that tonight. So our love for Jesus, the choices that we make, even the short time that we're here, I just want to say, like, that is, it's affecting more than just our lives, God.
Yeah.
Guys, affecting more than just our lives. I don't know about you, but that just excites me.
Yeah.
Come on, that can actually impact.
That's a ripple effect.
Come on, children, yes.
Yeah.
Come on, like, children yet to be born.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys. It's not just about right here, right now. Man.
So we are.
Wow. Exodus 27, 20-21, says the Lord commanded the people to bring beaten olive oil that the lamp may regularly be burning and tended from morning to evening. Basically, the Lord comes in Exodus. He's given instructions for the altar and the sacrifices and all these things. And it's honestly, it's a prophetic picture of our reality as believers. Leviticus 6 says, "The fire of the altar shall be kept burning and shall not go out." It actually says that twice in, like, I think it's like two verses, that exact, like that same phrase. "The fire of the altar shall be kept burning." And basically, it was it was the priest's job with this. The fire was never supposed to go out. And if you look up, check it out sometime on YouTube, the process of pure olive oil. There's this like crushing and grinding and all this huge process to bring forth pure olive oil. And this is what they were supposed to bring to the as part of their deal. And how many of you know, like, we're as a New Testament reality, there's a fire burning inside of us.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And like, Lord is saying, man, just come back to that first love.
Yeah.
Come back to that first love, and like, the fire never go out, like, day and night. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, guys, this is like personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Come on. This is not your pastor's job.
So true.
This is not your small group leader's job. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
The fire burning inside is your personal responsibility.
Yes, so good.
Personal responsibility. Someone said personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah, so good.
It's as simple, guys, as partnering with the Holy Spirit. Right? We always, like, it's not something we're mustering up on our own or nothing like that. It's just partnering with the Holy Spirit and saying, God, may the fire never go out on the inside. And I just want to say to you guys, like, there's no shortcuts in this. There's no shortcuts. Come on.
Yeah.
Millennial generation, like, it ain't happening. I mean, you read story after story in the Bible. Even look at David's life and just powerful men of God. Like, there is no shortcuts to this process, guys. But it's much more about this refining. And as time goes on, the fire becomes more real and more authentic and more pure. The offering of our lives, guys, becomes more and more real and more authentic and just more like Jesus. Somebody say, no shortcuts.
No shortcuts.
Come on, we're not microwaving this thing. But we're looking at long-term, guys.
Yeah.
That's really what I just want us to capture tonight, that the Lord would give us a vision for not just 1 year, not just for a ministry school, not just for 9 months or a year, but guys, for a lifetime.
Yeah, come on.
And because of that lifetime lived out, it's going to transfer to the next generation. Come on. And beyond. Yes. And so I can't communicate that enough, but that's just, like I said, I'm believing for the Holy Spirit to just release that in hearts tonight, like only He can do. Mm-hmm. And He would give us a vision that would just propel us. Like I said, not something we're busting up on our own, but His power released on the inside, guys, and propelling us forward to just keep our eyes set on Him and reminded the day in and day out that He's worthy. Right? And we're just convinced as time goes on, the conviction just gets deeper and deeper and more real and more real. Right? Yeah. And He's worthy, and it's like, man, I am going to take personal responsibility for this fire on the inside, for the Spirit of God living within me. And by His grace, come on, by His grace, not my own strength, I'm not going to allow offense and bitterness and the pressures of life to just stifle that fire.
Yeah, it's good, man.
How many of us have ever started a campfire?
Bro.
Now, don't tell me you think your strategy is the best, or we're not going there. Me, honestly, I'm sort of campfire. I'm like, get as much paper, as much cardboard. If you got two cans of lighter fluid, bring it. Potentially a 5 gallon can of gas. And ain't nobody got time for that whole TP and crosswood thing. Like, ain't got time for that. But how many other results of, like, you stick that thing on fire and it's like, you get the paper and the cardboard and roll it, it's like, great. Campfire's lighter, we're good to roll. Only to about 5 minutes later, it's like everyone's coughing and puffing and like things just smoking, you know, because it didn't actually get started. We're not looking to burn for just a year, guys. How many of you know if you want to, we've all enjoyed a good, man, you got good dry wood. Put that on there, you're good to roll for all-nighters, come on, right? Got the right supply of wood, man, that's rumble, like, good fire rolling. But even then, guess what? Somebody's got to keep, like, you got to keep adding wood to it, right? Otherwise, the thing's going to die out. And so, I just want to even share, as we talk about this, I just want to share just some very practical keys.
Yeah.
You know, practically, this is not going to be new stuff or anything profound, but it's just like, I just want to share some very practical ways of how do we
do it.
Take personal responsibility and keep that fire burning on the inside.
Yes.
Right. And to guard our hearts, right? Proverbs says, guard your heart. Why? Why guard your heart? For from it flow the issues of life. Right? And so that's a defensive, you know, more of a defensive, but I want to actually talk about more of the offensive, like, hey, this is what it looks like to keep that fire burning on the inside and continue to fix our eyes on Jesus. And the first one is, like I said, very practical, guys. You guys are going to know this stuff. But the first one is just creating this culture of worship in our lives. Personally and corporately. I remember when I was, most of my teen years, I was, there's tons of emotional bondage, tons of mental bondage, and like just desperately wanting freedom. And if you've been there, like you know what I'm talking about, like just desperately wanting freedom, but super isolated, I had no idea how to get there, but I was just like, God, I know there's more. I know this is not your plan for my life. But I didn't know how to get there. I was honestly just like so stuck in where I was at. And I would read all these books about like emotional health and like, you know, which is great. I'm not like downplaying that, man. Like whatever it takes to get free. Come on, somebody.
Yeah,
come on. That means reading books, it means counseling, whatever it is, like just get free.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's not just narrow it down to this certain little thing. But for me, I'm telling you, like, when I started encountering the presence of the Lord, everything changed.
Yes.
And I would literally, like, I love being outside. Being, like, secret place going outside for a walk in nature is, like, that is my sweet spot. And I would go to, like, I would just go and sit beside a creek. And I was still honest at this point. I didn't even have language what was happening. But I just remember, I would just, I got a hold of Chris Tomlin's stuff. Anybody have any Chris Tomlin fans now?
Yes.
That was my deal for a while. And I just loved this stuff. Guys, I would just turn that on and like, literally like, time would just fly by. Time would just like, it'd be like, an hour went by and it felt like 10, 15 minutes. And the presence of the Lord was just washing my life. And as I began to spend more time worshiping, I'm telling you, the Lord did things that I was longing to do on my own or read through books or whatever. And so I'm telling you, there is no exchange for the presence of the Lord. Even just corporately and personally. I know for me, just like, as I began to just, don't want to hear me wrong, like, worship looks a whole lot differently. I'm just bringing one aspect of it, right? You know, worship as we call worship, there's so many other, you know, facets that add to it. But for me, as I began to listen to worship music, if you will, I'm telling you to change the narrative. Change the narrative, guys. Not immediately, but just that continuous song, continuous sound of praise and of worship. It changed the narrative of mine. And I just want to Then your Bibles you turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Well, the Passion Translation.
Yes.
I was just going to read the end. I was reading this afternoon. I'm like, man, I just got to read this whole thing. It's so good. 2 Corinthians 3. Really, any room I land at. We'll start in verse... you can start in verse 7. It's going to be a bit long, but come on. We need the word, right? Even the ministry that was characterized by chiseled letters on stone tablets came with a dazzling measure of glory, though it produced death. And the Israelites couldn't bear to gaze on the glowing face of Moses because of the radiant splendor shining from his countenance, a glory designed to fade away. Yet how much more radiant is this new and glorious ministry of the Spirit that shines from us? For if the former ministry of condemnation was ushered in with a measure of glory, how much more does the ministry that imparts righteousness far excel in glory? And what was once glorious no longer holds any glory. This verse is blowing away. What was once glorious no longer holds any glory because of the increasingly greater glory that has replaced it.
Wow.
How do you explain that?
Wow.
It's like I have this red piece of paper, but I bring another even more red piece of paper, and now that one's like red because this one's so much more red. Like, how do you explain that? Like, because of the increasing amount of glory that came, what was once glorious isn't even glorious anymore. I can't explain that. I'm going to move it. The fading ministry came with a portion of glory, but now we embrace the unfading ministry of a permanent impartation of glory. So that with this amazing hope living in us, we step out in freedom and boldness to speak the truth. We are not like Moses, who used a veil, thank goodness, to hide the glory, to keep the Israelites from staring at him as it faded away. Their minds were closed and hardened, for even to this day, that same veil comes over their minds when they hear the words of the former covenant. And the veil has not yet been lifted from them, for it is only eliminated when one is joined to the Messiah. So until now, whenever the Old Testament is being read, the same blinding comes over their hearts. But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, and the veil is lifted, and they see. Now, the Lord, referring to the Holy Spirit, wherever he is Lord, there is freedom. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
We can all, somebody say all.
Oh.
Draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. And we are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What I love about this verse, guys, this is the Passion Translation, but what I love about it is it's present tense.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, as we gaze upon the Lord 10 years from now, we'll be changed. I'm telling you guys, when we spend time in worship and we set our eyes and our gaze on him, there is transformation happening.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Whether you realize it or not, that's not the point. Not according to what I said, but according to the Word. Present tense. As we set our eyes on him, there's this transformation. And it's actually where we get the word metamorphosis from. I was looking up in the Merriam-Webster. And I just like... I gotta read this. Metamorphosis is a change of physical form, structure, or substance, especially by supernatural means. A striking alteration in appearance, character, or circumstances. How many of your characters have been altered by the presence of God?
More.
How many of your facial expressions have been changed by the presence of God?
Yeah.
This is actually like the whole, I won't get into it, but the whole metamorphosis, like the whole butterfly process and all that. It's a whole other deal for another time. But this is the reality, guys. As we set our eyes on him, like we are being transfigured. We're being transformed from glory, as his glory just, as we go from glory to glory, we're being transformed. And so I just want to say, like, worship, one of the keys to think about just keeping the fire burning. Man, guys, like, we just May the sound never stop.
Come on.
May the sound never stop. The exaltation of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like as long as I'm on the planet, as long as we're on the planet, may the sound never stop, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why? Why? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Like I said, the angels and the elders, there is zero doubts in their heart.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. You guys, like, that Old Testament reality. We know, like, even right now. Even right now. 24/7. And I'm just going to be really honest. Has anyone ever wondered, like, don't they ever just get tired of it? I'm just being really honest. Don't they ever just get sick of it? Like, just for eternity. Not just since my life started or since, like, but for eternity past. They've been doing this. Now, like, what? Don't you get sick of it? You know? And, like, I'm not going to try to explain all that, but I'm just like, are they seeing something that I'm not seeing? And of course they are. We see it in part now. But we see it face to face. Yeah, guys. There's going to be zero regrets.
Yeah. Come on.
There's going to be zero regrets for being like, man, you know what? It was worth pressing through that time on the fence when it could kill me and take me out. It was worth resisting that bitterness and anger and just malice that would take over my heart. It was worth guarding my heart. It was worth keeping the fire burning day.
Come on, man.
Right?
Yeah.
First key, worship. Second one. And this is super practical again, but just realizing, guys, like, as we continue forward in life, like the whole reason that we can have this conversation tonight, like the whole reason we can even talk about adoring love, is why? Because he first loved us, right?
Yeah.
That's the only reason we can even have this conversation tonight. That's the only reason I can, like, sit in front of you like redeemed. Because he first loved me. Right? I mean, Ephesians says that we were, by nature, like after the fall, by nature we were, our nature was wrath. It was basically rebelling against God until we're born again. And so, just realizing that we never get away from, there's something so powerful about the love of God, the Father's love, touching the human heart, touching the human emotions. And this is like, we never get away from this, guys. We never, like, graduate from allowing the Lord just to pour his love on us. Because this is, as we think long term, as we think setting our gaze on him, for setting our eyes on him and being set apart and keeping the fire burning day and night, like, we can't get away from this. Like, we need his love to continuously, time and time again, to be lavished on our hearts, right, like John says. How great our love the Father is lavished on us. Second one. Third one. Super practical. Someone say practical.
Practical.
Daily intake of what?
Word.
Yes. Come on. Mm-hmm. Jesus said what? He is the bread of life. John 6, he said his words are spirit and they are life. Oh. And man does not live by what?
Bread.
But by what?
Every word.
Come on, that proceeds from the mouth of God. And even this, I love this beautiful picture. When you think about, like, if you read John 6, I wish you had more time for it. It talks about, like, being in the wilderness, right? Did the Lord just, like, pour out, here's a bunch of supply, boom, there you go. Come and get it. He didn't do that, right? It was daily, except the day of rest. You come out today, there's going to be manna there. You come out tomorrow, there's a man in there. It wasn't like, hey, take a supply for 7 days, and there you go. I mean, how many of us,
wow,
how many of us want to go to a burger shack on the way home and be like, you know what? I ordered 7 burgers. Taking care of the week, here I go. I'm just going to pile all in today. That way you got to worry about the rest of the week. Honestly, I'm fast. I wish I could do that. I wish I could just, boom, one day a week. All right, we're good. We got a lot of feeling the fridge about food getting old or heard of what I'm talking about. We don't do that, right? You don't go to a restaurant and be like, okay, I'm going to order for a week out ahead. No. It's a daily intake. You didn't think, right? I think this example that the Lord gave in, to the Israelites, this is a daily thing. I'm sustained for the day. His word in me, their spirit, and their life. He's a brother of life. He's sustaining me today. You know what? Guess what? Tomorrow, he's going to sustain me again. I'm just going to be really honest, guys. Like, this stuff, it's practical. But how many of them have to be intentional about that? Is there anyone else that you have to be intentional about that? I mean, a 2-minute thing or 5 minutes, whatever, like, man, life is just crazy. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about, living in Lancaster County? Like, it's just like, boom! Let's put the pedal to the metal and just, like, go as fast as we possibly can. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about.
So true.
You know? Does anyone else have to, like, fight for it? Like, man, you got to, like, carve out time for that. And it's super practical. But it takes intentionality. Intake of the word. His words are spirit and they are life. He is the bread of life. And man, we're never going to hunger and thirst as we come to him. 2 more. Number 4, the fourth, just very practical key. You guys already know this too, but prayer. I find it interesting. Out of all the things that Jesus did, what's the one thing that his disciples asked them to teach him about?
Just
pray. Right. I don't know about you guys, but like, if I've been rolling with Jesus and seen the whole Lazarus thing, I've been like, dude, that whole raise the dead thing, that's pretty cool. How about some training on that? You know what I mean? Like, your whole evangelism style, the way you just like bring people to the Lord, like, how about we talk about some passionate preaching or some passionate evangelism? Yeah. No, guys.
So
why did they ask him that?
Wow, so good.
Out of all the other questions they could have asked him.
Yeah,
right.
Right?
Yeah.
This guy was amazing. Walking with him. I'm sure they had a couple other questions. There could be things that, obviously there are things that are not in the Word. That's very clear. But for some reason, they saw it important enough. They were like, what is the deal with that? What's the deal with you going to the mountain and spending time with God? What's up with that? Why did they ask him about that? It doesn't really say. My interpretation is because they saw a connection, guys.
Yeah.
Direct connection.
Good.
Between his daily crazy life at the time he said alone.
Yeah.
And even when people were just like pressing in for him, guess what he did? There's times he just went to them. You know what? That's enough for today. I need your time with the Father.
Wow.
Same thing, guys. Super practical.
Wow.
But you guys know as well as I do, intentionality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Am I the only one? If I am, great.
Right there with you.
Yes.
But man, that time is like, and let's not get like, the secret place looks, let's not put that in a box either, right? Secret place is like, it's behind the face of who we are. That place is like, secret place of you and God. And it might look like being locked in a closet, or it might not. It might look like going out for a walk, going for a run, whatever it looks like for you. But it's that intimate fellowship that's between you and the Father, whatever it looks like for you.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they ask you, they say, hey, what's the deal with it? Teach us. Last one. And this one here is just very obvious as well. Actually, I'm not going to expand on it too much because Crystal preached a powerful message last week on it. I'm telling you guys, guess what the last one's going to be?
Community.
Come on. It's the family of God, right? None of us, not a single one of us, is called to just set our eyes, set our gaze on Jesus and try to do it alone. Like, we're not designed for that. He didn't set it up that way. There's a reason he called it the family of God. Right? And so I'm telling you guys, that's the way that we can actually express the authentic love of Jesus in our hearts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm isolating myself. Like, how's anyone going to know about Jesus? You know? That's where we're going to reach the road. It gets real. Like, man, dude, like, you're different than me. And you got some perks and whatnot, but I'm still called to love you.
Yeah.
Come on now. And that's like, that's authentic love for Jesus displayed right there, right?
Yeah. Wow.
So we need that. And even just encourage you. Man, like when you're going through the valley or when you're on the mountain, like whatever it is. Like, not alone. I just want to say to you guys, you guys can think about, like, I know I mentioned the whole, like, you know, guarding your heart, all these things. I just want to say to you, even favor can be an attraction. Are you with me?
Yeah, that's very true.
It's not just even favor. Favor and blessing. Right? Even that can be like, in the midst of that, guys, we got to choose to be like, you know what, I'm fixing my gaze on you.
Come on.
Anyone else just like, you experience these favors, like,
that
you know
is
what?
A good word, bro.
You just like start pulling back, and you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got
good,
this.
Good, yeah.
I got this thing figured out. I'm good. No, you're not. Newsflash. No, you're not.
Such a good word.
Yeah.
So it's not just about offense, it's not just about, you know, bitterness or whatever else, the tensions of life. But even in seasons of favor, guys, you got to choose to set your mind on things above, as Paul says, right? And even in the midst of favor, to choose to say, Jesus, you're worthy of the fire never going out on the inside. You're worthy of, like, I am guarding this first love. I'm taking responsibility. And I'm not looking for a shortcut. I'm not looking for the short route out. But what I am looking for is the power of the Holy Spirit to be released on the inside, to empower me to walk it out in.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not looking to muster this in my own. But I am looking for the Holy Spirit, to partner with the Holy Spirit.
No brain.
And to never allow the fire to go out, and to love it all my days. And that my love at 80 or 90 years old, it's going to be more authentic than it is now. Dwayne, I feel like you can take this message. Honestly, I'm so blessed for you guys being here. I was just like, man, you guys are such an example, even this message. You know, you guys are serving the Middle East. And even just like, I just want to say it too, I just felt like a word for you guys. The Lord's seen all the times you guys push past when there was time for offense and isolation. The Lord's seen all those times where you guys chose. You guys chose to set your eyes, set your hearts on Him. And I just want to say too, even if there's things that, like, man, you felt like that was, it wasn't completed, it wasn't done, we didn't see the things that we expected to see. I really believe the Lord's going to even do things through your children that the things you're like, man, it was somehow like it didn't happen or we missed it or whatever. The Lord's going to be bringing that. You're going to see fruit in through your children's lives because of the times that you were just, man, I could have got offended, or I could have gotten bitter and walked away, but I didn't. And your children are actually reaping the rewards of that. So I just want to share with you guys, bless you. I'm so blessed you guys are here. And I really just want to share that with you guys. So, can we just extend our hands toward them and bless them?
Yeah.
Father, just thank you for the Hershey family. Jesus, thank you for their faithfulness to you. Just even just Wayne and Viviana, God, the years they served when nobody else saw it.
Yes.
Jesus, thank you for their commitment to you.
Yes.
I pray even now, Jesus, that you would just fill them afresh, God. That you would fill them afresh, God. You would refresh them by the power of the Holy Spirit, God. Just release your power on the inside. And even their children, Jesus. We just bless them, God. May they walk in the fullness. God, in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit, and display the works of God on the earth. May they manifest your glory, Jesus, on the earth. Thank you for the Hershey family, God. Thank you for the time they took even this weekend to be with us. Thank you for what they bring to this community, God. Yeah, we just bless them. We bless them. We just release your power and your life over them. And thank you for the purposes you have for them in Jesus' name. Yeah. 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 You want to come and play a little bit, Crystal? How are you doing, guys?
Good.
Yeah, awesome. Solid. Awesome. Yeah, let's just do this. Just grab the person next to you, Crystal, play a little bit. Let's just grab the person next to you and just pray for that. Just pray that the Lord would release, the Holy Spirit would release power. Just supernatural courage to set our eyes on Him. To release His power for just adoring love. Not just for the day, not just for tomorrow, but He would give us a vision for it. Just the rest of our lives. Setting our gaze on Him. Yeah, hold up, guys. Sorry. Vinny's got one real quick.
So I just saw this picture before you started speaking about how, like, I saw this, like, this big, like, jug, and I feel like it just has this, like, big jug of oil, and it, like, has to move, like, keeping the fire burning, and just to pour it out. Like, I feel like it was just, like, had, like, plenty, and he just wanted to, like, cover us in, like, this oil, and I feel like it's, like, whoa, to keep the fire burning. So I just got that picture, and I felt like you just wanted to.
Thank you for sharing your
money.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was actually praying earlier. And I mean, just gotta see if I got this picture of like a clear picture. And inside it was like this liquid fire. And I saw cups spread out. And I was pouring in these cups. And I just want to leave it. Now as we pray for each other. Just believe the Holy Spirit's gonna release fire. One person to pray for. So release His glory in that person's life. Even now. Okay, we just invite you to come now, Holy Spirit, to release your power. To move God. To release the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Or you give us a vision of what it looks like. To set our eyes on you, God. To set our hearts on you, Jesus. No matter what it looks like, God. Our eyes and our hearts will be set on you through the power of the Holy Spirit.